Welcome to The Blaze. This is episode 271. I am your host, Alejandro Oveda. You have now pushed play to another blazing week, and I got to tell you, what an amazing week we've been having here on the podcast. You know, the weather is beautiful this week, and I just got to tell you, make sure you guys go enjoy it. I mean, this whole week has been all the way up in the 70s, you know, low 80s. And this weekend, Saturday, I think we will be seeing a little bit of rain. I don't think it's going to be raining all day, but, you know, since that weather is changing, getting warmer, you know, we're going to be seeing a little bit of that temperature change. And this week, you know, we're seeing the low 80s. And then during next week, in the beginning of the next week, we're going to be seeing low 60s to high 70s. So it is going to be a nice weekend and week. And I just got to say thank you for joining us this week on the podcast. You know, every week you could depend on this podcast to give you guys content every week. Every Thursday, you can depend on this podcast to have some kind of drop of an episode, some kind of content for you guys every week to enjoy. You know, this week has been a busy week for me. Just trying to get things together, just trying to get the pod going, getting it running more smoothly each and every week. It's been a great, great time recording, but at the same time, trying to find that time has been kind of interesting, you know. But I have to do it. I have to put it, you know, in my back pocket. I have to take it with me. Anywhere I go, I know I could get this podcast done. I could get this podcast started and get this delivered for you guys to have something to enjoy during the week. And seeing how you guys really recepted the last pod, episode 270, man, you guys really ran those numbers up. And I just got to say, I was really excited to get to sit down with you guys today to get this podcast going, you know. And it's been the weather that has been really making me feel really good. I've been able to get my workouts in last week, and, you know, on time. Like, I wasn't really procrastinating last week, but this week, kind of the other way. You know, just really, really had some really big things going on in my life that, you know, you just can't really put to the side. You really have to, you know, take it head on. And as I've been doing that, you know, I've been seeing that my mental has been kind of lacking this week. And I really need to get squared away into my workouts and get that going. But really just try to handle things as things have been coming up and trying to make things, you know, work out the way that I want them to. And, you know, you kind of just have to think about it. You kind of have to just put yourself in that position and really take it on. And so I've been really in this position, just kind of like in an anxiety state, you know, just trying to make sure that I'm getting my jobs done as well as trying to get this pod done. It's been a tough week, you know, especially with my allergies. You know, even though I've been taking allergy pills, I still feel like I feel terrible. But this weather is beautiful. You know, like I said, when this weather is like windy, I'm always going to have these types of allergies. But the way that it hit me earlier this week, it was kind of bad. You know, I started getting it in my throat, started getting headaches. It wasn't really nice, you know. So I did take a day off this week to really try to recoup, but still suffering majorly with these allergies. And I know, you know, throughout my whole life, I feel like it's getting worse. I feel like when I'm getting older, like my sinuses are just terrible. So this week, I'm just really chilling, just really trying to stay inside as that air blows. You know, once it gets to like, once the sun goes down, really, my allergies start to go away. So it's like I'm inside from probably 12 p.m. to, you know, 8 p.m. So, and then those are usually my work hours as well. So it's like, it doesn't really matter, but I still feel terrible. So if you guys are really, you know, bothered by this, you know, allergies, make sure you check out Zyrtec. I know that's what I use for my allergies. It's good for about 12 hours, I would say. It's good for about 12 hours. It's a little pill, but it does some good work. It doesn't get you all, you know, tired. It doesn't get you all drowsy. It works for what you need it for the time being. And I've been on that like every day this week, just trying to make sure that my eyes aren't itchy, making sure my throat's not itchy. But it has been a struggle, you know, my allergies is crazy, man. But this week, you know, I really wanted to just give you guys a little bit of what's going on, you know. Things are moving fast for me and my wife right now. We really made some progress in our lives. We're really toning down on some big movements in our life. I can't wait to make some announcements when we know things are more official. But we do have some big news, you know, big news coming up. And I feel like, you know, we just got to be patient to let that out. But we are excited that this week has been happening. You know, a lot of the things that we've been dreaming about in our life has been coming true because, you know, we've been putting in the work, we've been putting in the efforts, and we're starting to see a lot of these things come to fruition. And, you know, it's a blessing, but also it's a curse because, you know, we're new to a lot of things. And as we are learning, we're starting to realize where we are in our lives. You know, we're not 20s. We're not in our early 30s anymore. We're in our late 30s now. Like, things are starting to change. Things are starting to really get real. You know what I'm saying? So this week, I really wanted just to get my mind right, really get the pod going. So let's get this pod going as, you know, we get into this next week. And since we are in the first Thursday of the month, I just want to remind you, make sure you guys go out to Art Hop. You know, Art Hop is a great place for people just to be able to meet people, meet like-minded people, and also to check out some of the art galleries that we have in our Central Valley. And I just want to say that Art Hop was started by the Central Arts Council, and this was to celebrate Fresno art. And like I said, every first and third Thursday of the month, art lovers, enthusiasts all over come to enjoy entertainment around the downtown area and also through, you know, Tower District and the rest of the metro area. But Art Hop is an open place to the public and features free entry to most of the exhibits, the galleries, and other special performances. But you can learn about what's going down at Art Hop when you go to downtownfresno.org, and it will tell you about a lot of the different events that are happening in the downtown area. And if you're looking for something this week, Art Hop Downtown is a major hub for Art Hop, and it has different art galleries, businesses, vendors, restaurants. I know bars and breweries are always a big hub for hosting, you know, art events, but you got to check out some of the things on Facebook. I know Facebook has a lot of different flyers that you could get for Art Hop. But the best thing to do is just get involved. You know, if you're a vendor, if you're someone that, you know, works directly with as a business, maybe you could get some information. That way, you could be involved in Art Hop. But like I said, there's places in the Kern Plaza, the alley in the valley, Mariposa Plaza. I think there's Mas Fresno, and there's other various locations. Like I said, the Brewery District is always a big hub for Art Hop. I know they always have local music. I know they have local vendors, and they always have, you know, the local fun that you're looking for. But this is going to be a great Art Hop this month. And I just want to always remind you guys just to go out there, get involved, go have some fun, you know, and be safe. The biggest thing is to be safe. And, you know, I know Fresno has, you know, people have mixed emotions about that. But if you're really just minding your business and you're just, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing, I think you would be okay. the question is you know, the parking situations and stuff like that. So you just got to make sure you know where you're parking, where, you know, your whole plan for the night. That way, you know, you don't get kind of stranded or in a position where you know you can't, you know, come out of. But, you know, Fresno is a tough place, but at the same time, it is a great place to live. And it is a great place to support, especially Art Hop or any kind of local event. So make sure you guys make it out to Art Hop this week. I know I try to make it a big point on the pod to make sure you guys go ahead and attend. So make sure to attend every first Thursday of the month. And this is today, so make sure you guys go out there and support. And this week, I was able to listen to a lot of different music. And this week, you know, I'm not trying to make a popular take or anything like that, but I really wanted to talk about Z-Ro's new album, The Ghetto Gospel. And this is an album that I really took my time to listen to. Ghetto Gospel really starts with a prayer, and it makes you go through this journey of this album, and it's really about, you know, Z-Ro's Houston, you know, interactions with the devil, with Satan, and just people that who are evil that, you know, tend to hide behind bushes, really. And Z-Ro will tell you the evil one to get off of his dick, even though, you know, the worst temptations of the devil are all around you. Women, drugs, alcohol. It's about how you really coast yourself through the whole portion of life, you know. I think Z-Ro made a great album, as, you know, not really many people talk about the things that he is talking about. And it's reminding me of some older music that I used to listen to in the 90s as Scarface. You know, I loved Scarface back in the day. And this is the kind of music that I feel Scarface would make. The Ghetto Gospel really put me into the driver's seat, as I could listen to what other people kind of have trouble with, you know, and this is what makes people kind of real, you know, and that's what I like about Z-Ro's music. He always has some kind of experience, and he really talks about it as a tool during his projects, and sometimes, you know, he doesn't mask the bad things, you know, so I feel like he knows the good stuff. You know, he knows loyalty, he knows the women that he likes to mess with, he knows good weed, he knows good food. And through these songs, he's able to give you a little bit about Houston, a little bit about himself, and a little bit about where he comes from. You know, even those songs really pay homage to things like, you know, his fire, the way that he kind of interacts with the rap world. I feel like he kicks things off, you know, really by making this album something for the grown man to listen to. But he also shows, you know, off some playful sides. Celebrating his hometown is a big part of the album, and just smoking a lot of weed is also part of the album. But it has this country fried funk. He really makes his own genre, in a way. You know, it's funk inspired with tons of bass lines, R&B choruses, and, you know, you got songs that you could hit in the club, or you could have songs that really you could listen to in the bedroom with your wife or your girl. But he really takes you on a journey through the whole album. I feel like it gives you almost like Nate Dogg vibes also, like that, just the way he does the G-Funk on this album. It really makes me feel like he revived a little bit of what Nate Dogg used to do. But it's a fresh take, you know, on classic hip hop. But you get that country accent of Z-Ro, And also some of the just the way that he talks, just the way that he's able to communicate, you know. But he never is one of those artists to really chase the trends. He's really conventional with his work. And the Ghetto Gospel isn't really a reinvention of what he has been doing, you know. It's just like a reminder of how well he's able to do it. I feel like this was an album I couldn't miss up. I mean, people were talking a lot about this album. And, you know, I haven't heard really any big reviews on it. But I would have to say it is a great album and something worth listening to. And if you're looking for something, you know, different, if you're looking for something, you know, to put you into it's almost like a trance, you know, you listen to all these different types of genres inside of one project, and you just can't help but be a fan. So if you're looking, like I said, if you're looking for something good this week, make sure you check out The Ghetto Gospel. And I know he has, you know, some good songs on this album, but I like the features and the songs that I've been listening to the most off the album are Pimpin' Over Here, Still Shining, and that's featuring Paul Wall and Mike D, and then My Life, and that's just Zero by himself. But this album is definitely something to listen to. Let me know what you guys are listening to this week, and make sure you check out The Ghetto Gospel by Zero. And that was released earlier, or in March, I think, late March was when that was released. So make sure you check it out and let me know what you guys think. And this week I was able to watch a lot of different shows and a lot of different movies, but I really wanted to talk about Physical 100 Season 2. And this was we're still watching it, but we're right in the middle. And I got to say, this Season 2 was a knockout. I am super excited to finish this Season 2 of Physical 100. As you know, this series is basically, they put bodybuilders, firefighters, UFC fighters, kickboxers, gym enthusiasts, and so many other types of people into this one competition. And it's called Physical 100. And they had a season prior to this, and it was actually well received. But now that we're on number 2, I'm almost like, man, I can't wait to see Physical number 3. But the first season was really good, as you know, you saw some of the best sportsmen in Korea. Some of them, you know, that were movie stars or you know, just different types of people. But this cast of the Physical 100 Season 2, there's tons more, I feel, of people. And I feel like there's more athletes, more bodybuilders, and a lot of different people that, you know, you might kind of overlook. But it is a nail-biting competition. It tests the physical of the physical limits of all 100 contestants. It was a hit reality on Netflix in the Korean genre, but it did premiere last year and quickly found, you know, an audience this year, making it one of the most intense shows on Netflix, where it challenges, you know, one-on-one. It challenges you in groups. It challenges you to use your mind. It challenges you to be a team player. But some of these challenges, you know, are really, really intense. Like, they have this one where they have to fight over a medicine ball. And it's really a one-on-one wrestling match. And, you know, you got people that will choose the weak link, but you got people that are choosing to have a challenge. Like, there was a woman taking on a man in this season, doing this, you know, the wrestling match for the medicine ball, and she ended up winning, which had to be a difficult and one of the most impressive, you know, wins that I saw in this series so far. But I could not go without talking about this because I feel like it's one of those shows that really has hit Netflix and it's really boosted its, I think, credibility for sports. And I feel like, you know, with some of these athletes that are internationally famous, some of them are legendary. I think they could go another level, you know. And I just can't wait to see the rest of the season. Now that we're, I think we're close to almost the end as we are at the last four contestants. But this is a great show. You can put it on and you can see a lot how these athletes compete, how they continue to push themselves. It's motivating, but also captivating at the same time. So if you're looking for something good to watch this week, make sure you check it out, Physical 100 Season 2 on Netflix, and let me know what you guys are watching this week. And this week, I just want to say congratulations to all those who supported, all those who put on Porch Fest in the Tower District. What a great, great event. You know, I love when Porch Fest happens every year as it captivates Fresno and also Tower District, downtown area. Just everywhere, everything about it, I feel like it really puts Fresno into a different trajectory. But I just don't like hearing that there was a hate crime suspect that was arrested after incidents at Porch Fest. And this was in Fresno's Tower District. And this was a 49-year-old man who was arrested of a violation of civil rights and a hate crime. And this was following the incident at Porch Fest event in Fresno's Tower District over the weekend. And police say that the incident began following an argument over the support of Palestine. And police say on Saturday around, I think it was 4 p.m., officers had to respond to a physical disturbance that took place on Echo and Hedges. And officers said that they arrived, they contacted several women who had set up a booth for Porch Fest event in the Tower District. And the women said that an intoxicated man, I don't really want to say his name on the pod, but he approached them and I guess allegedly began to argue over the support of Palestine. So police say this argument, you know, escalated really fast to now a physical confrontation as, you know, the person that ended up causing this fled on foot after the altercation, but was then found by other officers that were assisting this whole ordeal. So this person was arrested on suspicion of following charges and booked in the Fresno County Jail, which included robbery, which is a felony, battery on a person, a misdemeanor, violation of civil rights, which was a hate crime, which is also a misdemeanor, and vandalism. So I think the Fresno chief ended up coming out and saying that equal protection of all members of Fresno community, regardless of their political affiliation, social status, race, creed, or sexual preference, is a top priority for the Fresno Police Department. You know, and it's so sad that something like this had to happen at such a great event on Saturday, Porch Fest. And it's sad that, you know, something like this will happen over politics. You know, the Fresno community doesn't really want to stand for this type of lawlessness. And I hope that, you know, all of our citizens here will not let this happen. And, you know, just because you have different beliefs, just because you have different ideas, doesn't mean you can go and hit people and argue with people and make people feel like trash. I just feel like this is a thing we could all learn from. And I just hope that the person that did, you know, get into this altercation also learned a little bit of things, you know. But hate crimes are not to be taken lightly. And I like that, you know, our Fresno PD actually was there to take this guy in and really put him and book him into the Fresno County Jail. I think this was a good job by the Fresno Department. And it's just things that you have to be aware about when you go to, you know, public events. It's not, it will happen here, it will happen everywhere. It doesn't matter where you go. Just make sure you guys know your surroundings. Make sure you guys know where you are. And if you are by yourself, make sure you guys know, make sure you guys tell people where you are. Like, stuff like this could really turn into a bad situation. I'm just glad that, you know, the Fresno Department was able to kind of, you know, finish it instead of, like, you know, making it a bigger thing than it should have been. So I'm just glad that, you know, Porch Fest was a great event, even though stuff like this will happen. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we're all in this together. We're all looking out for one another and making sure we're all being safe. So I'm so happy that Porch Fest had a great, great showing. And I just hope that it will continue to grow each and every year. Now let's talk about the Fresno County City that is one of the most livable cities in the U.S. And this was a study that was released earlier this week. And Clovis is one of the top 100 best places to live in the U.S. And this is according to Livability, as Fresno County is one of my favorite places to be. But Clovis landed on the site's 2024 list of the top 100 places to live in the U.S., which ranked small to mid-sized cities based on factors including housing, education, and environment. And each city was then given a quality of life score. So my thing would be, what makes a city great place to live in? And I feel like the most livable cities in the U.S., they offer a combination of affordability, opportunity, and quality of life factors. So Carmel, Indiana, topped the list of the best 100 places to live in the nation with a score of 875 out of a possible 1,000. And Clovis, just east of Fresno in the San Joaquin Valley, ranked highly on livability in the terms of environment, transportation, and economy. So the city, which has a population, I think, of 124,000, had a quality of life score of 751 out of 1,000. So this is a great, great thing for Clovis. As we all know, Clovis blends small town with kind of that modern town with modern amenities. It's a beautiful city. It's lined with trees, parks, walkways. The city really has an urban greening master plan, which includes bicycle transportation, improved air quality, improved water quality, urban forest management. So I felt like this was a great thing to talk about, as, you know, we are looking at places to live, me and my wife, and Clovis is one of those places that we have been looking at. And the median home in Clovis is about $378,000, and the median property tax is $3,229, with an average commute, if you're in Clovis, 20 minutes at that. And the median household income is about $97,000. And, you know, there's so many other things that I think Clovis has that, you know, I think other cities don't. And I feel like it's the protection of their police department. I feel like that's what also sets Clovis into another standard, as, you know, they rank these cities for livability. And I feel like safety has to be a big concern. And that's why I think Clovis is one of the best cities to live in the U.S. And it's going to continue to be that way. It's going to continue to grow and become even better. And that's what I like about Clovis. And it's only 15 minutes away, you know, like it's only up the street. So if you guys are looking for a place to live, make sure you check around Clovis. There are a great housing out there. There's a lot of different new developments that are becoming available in Clovis. And I know that's exactly where me and my wife are looking at the moment. So make sure you guys check it out. I know Clovis has those, you know, the idea of, you know, rich and all that, but it is a great place to be, a great place to live, and a great place to raise your family. And I love that it was on Livability's top 100 cities to live in. So it's great to have a Central Valley city right there on top of the list. So make sure you guys continue to support the Clovis area. And this morning it was announced that Joe Biden plans to expand 2 national monuments in California, and one is a mountainous wilderness area just east of Los Angeles, and another is a tree-covered rolling hillsides just north of Napa. In the coming weeks, I feel like they will be making this announcement, and Biden said he will expand the perimeters of the San Gabriel Mountains National Monument by about 110,000 acres, and the Berryessa Snow Mountain National Monument by about 13,000 acres. Both monuments were first designated by former President Barack Obama, but this is a huge, and also clearly, as you can see, this is a great thing for California, as it will be expanding these monuments. But the exact timing of it is unclear, which in the upcoming weeks will coincide with Earth Day. The White House spokesperson declined to comment, but the Washington Post first reported this today. And the national monuments are areas of historic, cultural, and natural significance that is designated for federal protection. So the redrawn boundaries for the California monuments will now serve several purposes: protecting sacred sites for the Native Americans, conserving land, and also expanding public access to the outdoors. I know the San Gabriel Mountains are among the most pristine and also most beautiful public lands in the country. And I didn't even know this, but San Gabriel actually gets almost more visitors annually than Yellowstone. And it is right next to one of the nation's densest and most park-deprived population centers. You know, I think Biden is doing a good job by using his executive authorities to finalize this, and finally going to recognize the significance of all these lands and unlock, you know, of different types of support and resources. So during the first 3 years of his term, Biden conserved more than 24 million acres of public lands, and most recently designating new national monument near Grand Canyon. And it's a certain monument that I can't say the name. It's the name is in Native American, but Biden also designated new monuments in Nevada and Colorado, and is also protecting national monuments in Utah that were actually restricted by former President Donald Trump. But the House advisor for the international climate policy said that the future of conservation is in the hands of our government, and people are looking at this and saying, you know, is he like surpassing what the most important things that he should be doing in the White House? But I think for more to come, I think that is great, as, you know, land is going to be a big deal here in California, as we start seeing, you know, even here in Fresno, the urban sprawl and how things are starting to look on the bigger end. And I just feel like, you know, we're going to need a lot more land like this to be really protected, you know, from us, from humans, and from people that take advantage of land. I just hope that, you know, we continue to make national monuments, and it's great to have those here in our California region. And it's not too far up north, and it's not too far down south. when you're here in the Fresno area. So make sure you guys check these new monuments out. Like I said, the San Gabriel Mountains, and they'll also have some hillsides there in Napa Valley. So this is going to be a great thing for California, as we are one of the best states in the country. Now let's talk about our Fresno State baseball team, as they have an overall record of 27-17, and they have a Mountain West Conference record of 14-7. And last week, the Dogs had a big series against Washington State, which they had a 3-game series in Washington. Their first game, they ended up beating Washington 5-4. Their second game, they beat Washington 12-2. Their third game, they lost to Washington 3-4. In a big series, and that's huge for the Bulldogs as they push into May to finish off their 2024 season. But they ended up having another game during the week on Tuesday here at home against Cal Poly, and they ended up losing that game 8-3. But the Dogs will have a 3-game series on the road this weekend in San Diego. They'll start that on Friday, May 3rd, and that will go all the way until May 5th on Sunday. And then the Dogs will have another away game on Tuesday against Pacific, and that will be in Stockton. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more, as the Fresno State baseball season is going to conclude at the end of May. So make sure you guys continue to support Fresno State baseball. Now let's start talking about our Fresno State women's softball team, as they have an overall record of 32-16. But they have a Mountain West Conference record of 12-7. And last week, they had a 3-game series against Colorado State, which they were able to have a home series this past weekend. And they ended up going 2-1 against Colorado State. They won their first game 7-2. They won their second game 5-2. And then they lost their third game 1-11. And then this week, the Dogs will have their last 3-game series of the season versus New Mexico, and that will start on today, May 2nd. They'll finish up on Saturday, May 4th. And then the Fresno State softball team will start their Mountain West Championship tournament on May 9th. That will be a Thursday, and that will go all the way until May 11th. So we got to make sure we continue to support our Fresno State softball team, as their last series is this weekend, May 2nd through May 4th. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State softball team. And I'll also talk about the Fresno State men's golf team, who's number 54, and they're ranked number 54 in the country, and they now have made their return to the NCAA regional for the first time since 2010. And this will be the Bulldogs will head to Stanford Regional, which was announced by the selection committee on Wednesday. So Fresno State will compete May 13th through May 15th at the Stanford Golf Course. The 14-team field includes Florida State, Ole Miss, Illinois, Texas A&M, Stanford, UCLA, SMU, Missouri, Fresno State, UNLV, Augusta, Liberty, Sacramento State, and Siena. It is the 27th all-time team NCAA appearance for the Bulldogs, and the 6 54-hole regional tournaments will determine the 30 qualifying teams and 6 individuals who compete in the finals. 13 teams and 10 individuals will compete at each 3 regionals, while the other 3 regionals will have 14 teams and 5 individuals competing. The low 5 teams and the low individual not on a qualifying team will advance to the finals. So the 2024 National Championship will be hosted by the University of Texas at Austin, held at Omni La Costa Resort and Spa in Carlsbad, California. So Fresno State had 5 top 5 finishes this season, ranked as high as number 42 during the spring in the national rankings. And the Bulldogs opened the fall at number 13, according to Golf Week, after finishing runner-up at the Maui Jim Intercollegiate with the program low, 45 under par. So Fresno State's going to be in this tournament And I just wanted to make sure to send them good luck and make sure they represent Fresno really well. I know their golf team is always pretty good, so hopefully they can make some good competition. So make sure you guys go for the men's golf team this weekend, as they will be appearing in the NCAA regional. And that was the first time since 2010. So go Dawgs. Now let's talk about our Fresno Grizzlies. As they're currently second in the California League North Division, they're second behind Modesto, as their record holds at 13 wins with 9 losses. And last week we had a 6-game series against the San Jose Giants, which we ended up going 2-4. We won the first game 6-0, won the second game 5-0. Then we lost the third game 0-7, lost the fourth game 5-7, lost the fifth game 2-8, and then lost our sixth game 3-5. We are now currently in a 6-game series with Inland Empire, which we started on Tuesday, and we ended up getting our first win on Tuesday 9-2. Then we lost on Wednesday 5-6. Then we'll continue the series throughout the weekend. And then we'll have a home series next week against the Modesto Nuts. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno Grizzlies. Now let's talk about our Central Valley Fuego, as they have a record of 2-3. And this past week they had a big game against Spokane Velocity, which they ended up going into PK shootout, which in full time they were tied 1-1. And then in the PK shootout, Central Valley overcame and they ended up winning 4-2 in a great, great victory. And the Central Valley Fuego will have a home game this weekend against Charlotte Independence, and that will be at the Fresno State Soccer Stadium. So make sure you guys go support your Central Valley Fuego and make sure you guys make it loud for them to have a great game and continue to win, as they will be having games throughout May. And I think they'll only have 2 home games this week, and then they'll have another game on May 17th. So make sure you guys go out there and support your Central Valley Fuego. Now let's talk about it, our Valley FC, as they had a big game against Riverbank last week. And they ended up beating Riverbank 3-2 with a victory on the road, with a great team win, with goals from Gutierrez, with an assist from Alvarez, a goal from Padilla, and a goal from Mesa. So this is a great, great win, and I can't believe they're continuing to show their dominance this season. But they will have their next game this week at home at Key Tights Park versus Oceanu Sport. And that will be on May 4th. So make sure you guys go check them out at Key Tights Park, right across the street from Clovis West. And make sure you take out the family. It's a great event to go out, go support some great soccer, as our Valley FC continues to roll on in the spring to 2024 season. And as we're talking local sports, I just want to talk about Xavier Worthy, who's from Fresno, and he just got drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. Xavier Worthy is actually a wide receiver, and he played for the Texas Longhorns, earning 3 all Big 12 honors. And Worthy holds the 40-yard dash record at the NFL Combine with a time of 4.21 seconds. So this is going to be a great pickup for KC, as he is one of those players that could find the opening on the field and make plays happen. And I've seen this guy play for Texas Longhorns, and he is a great specimen, full of speed, full of effort, and he continues to show how great of a specimen he is. And I feel like this is going to be a great, great, you know, team pick for Kansas City. As you know, he is a 5'11 wide receiver, but this will put Mahomes in a great, great position, as you know, he is looking for, the Kansas City Chiefs have been looking for their number one wide receiver, and hopefully they found him in Worthy, but we'll have to wait and see as the season will be starting soon. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast more as we talk about local sports. And with the NFL draft now over, we had some great, great teams pick up, you know, certain players from the draft. And I have to say, this was a great NFL draft. I couldn't ask for a better draft, as we all know Caleb Williams, you know, was the talk of the town, as he ended up becoming the first selected for Chicago Bears. But this was, had to be one of the most star-studded drafts in a while. We had the number one pick, Caleb Williams, go to the Chicago Bears. Jaden Daniels, a QB from LSU, go to the Washington Guardians. We got Drake May from North Carolina going to the Patriots. Marvin Harrison Jr. Going to the Cardinals. We got offensive tackle Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. He is going to the Chargers. We got Malik Nabers from LSU, wide receiver, going to the Giants. J.C. Latham, who is also an offensive tackle out of Alabama, he is going to the Tennessee Titans. And then my Falcons ended up picking a quarterback out of Washington, Michael Penix Jr., and they ended up drafting him at the 8th spot. Then the Chicago Bulls had the Chicago Bears had a second pick in the first round, and they ended up choosing wide receiver Rome Odunze from Washington. And then at the 10th pick, the Vikings ended up choosing quarterback out of Michigan, J.J. McCarthy. But what a great event this year, as, you know, we had some of the best quarterbacks in this draft. We had some great wide receivers in this draft. And just to see, you know, Michael Penix Jr. from my team get picked as the first pick in the 8th selection. I mean, I was really happy. A lot of people really were talking shit, saying that was probably the worst pick they could have done after, you know, paying Kirk Cousins all this money. But I feel like we now have insurance policy just in case. But to me, the biggest take of the draft, I think, would have to be Marvin Harrison going to the Cardinals. This was a big, big pick for the Cardinals, as they had some struggles last year. And, you know, seeing that Arizona's general manager traded down from the number 3 overall to the number 12 and then vaulted back up to the number 6, where he ended up getting the players that he wanted. I think this was a great, great start for the Cardinals, as I would rate their draft class one of the highest this year. So they have a lot to look forward to in the next coming years. And also, I would have to say the Seahawks also got a good end of the draft after they ended up getting their D-tackle Byron Murphy, but then also picking up some great, great players that will also continue to grow their offensive line. But Pete Carroll is out of the war room for the first time in almost 15 years. And this was going to be an interesting draft, as the Seahawks ended up going after some great, great picks. So I end up giving the Cardinals and the Seahawks the best grades in the draft this year. And I want to know if your team ended up drafting the player you wanted, and let me know what you guys think about this 2024 NFL draft. Now let's talk about the MLB, and we'll start off with the Los Angeles Dodgers, as they have a record of 20-13. And the Dodgers had a 3-game series on the road versus the Blue Jays, which they ended up going 2-1. They beat the Blue Jays their first game 12-2. Beat the Blue Jays their second game 4-2, and then the Blue Jays beat the Dodgers their third game 3-1. Then the Dodgers ended up going to take on the Diamondbacks on the road, and the Dodgers ended up going 2-1, beating the Diamondbacks their first game 8-4. Then the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 4-3 their second game, and then the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 8-0 their third game. The Dodgers will be at a home series this weekend versus the Braves, and then the Dodgers will be at a home series over the week versus the Marlins. So make sure to tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Dodgers. Now let's talk about the Padres, who are second in the National League West, and they have a record of 16-18. And they had a weekend series at home versus the Phillies, and they ended up going 0-3 versus the Phillies. The Phillies beat the Padres 9-3 their first game, 5-1 their second game, and 8-6 their third game. Then the Padres ended up having another home series versus the Reds, which they ended up going 2-1. The Reds beat the Padres their first game 5-2. Then the Padres beat the Reds 6-4. Then the Padres beat the Reds their third game 6-2. Now the Padres will be on the road this weekend versus the Diamondbacks, and then they'll be on the road again during the week versus the Cubs. So make sure to tune into the Blaze podcast for more on your San Diego Padres. Now let's talk about my San Francisco Giants, who are third in the National League West, and they have a record of 14-17. And over the weekend, the Giants had a three-game series versus the Pirates, which they ended up going 2-1. The Giants beat the Pirates the first game 3-0. The Pirates beat the Giants their second game 4-3. And then the Giants beat the Pirates 3-2 their third game. And now the Giants are in a weekend series versus the Red Sox, which they have, the Red Sox have a 2-0 lead right now in the series. The Red Sox beat the Giants 4-0 their first game. The Red Sox beat the Giants 6-2 their second game. And currently they are 1-1 right now, top of the fifth, in their third game. But the Giants will be having a three-game series on the road versus the Phillies over the weekend. And, oh, actually, that's a four-game series over the weekend. And then the Giants will have a three-game series versus the Rockies over the week. So make sure to tune in to the Blaze podcast for more on your San Francisco Giants. Now let's talk about the Oakland Athletics, as they are third in the American League West division. They have a record of 15-17. And they had a three-game series versus the Orioles over the weekend. And they ended up going 2-1. The A's beat the Orioles 3-2 their first game. The Orioles beat the A's the second game 7-0. And then the A's beat the Orioles 7-6 their third game. Then the A's ended up taking on the Pirates for a three-game series at home. And the A's beat the Pirates 5-1 their first game. They ended up beating the Pirates 5-2 their second game. And then beating the Pirates 4-0 their third game. And this week, and the Athletics will be on a three-game series versus the Marlins at home. And then the Athletics will take on the Rangers for a three-game series at home all over the week. So make sure to tune in to the Blaze podcast for more on your Oakland A's. Now let's talk about the Los Angeles Angels, as they are fourth in the American League West with a record of 11-20. And they had a three-game series versus the Twins over the weekend. The Twins beat the Angels 5-3 their first game. The Twins beat the Angels 16-5 their second game. And the Twins beat the Angels 11-5 to sweep the series against the Angels. And then the Angels took on the Phillies for a three-game series at home. The Angels ended up beating the Phillies 6-5 the first game. Phillies beat the Angels 7-5 their second game. And the Phillies beat the Angels 2-1 to make the series 1-2. Against the Phillies over the weekend. And this week, they'll be having a three-game series versus the Guardians. And then that will be on the road. And then the Angels will be on the road versus the Pirates over the week. So make sure to tune into the Blaze podcast for more on your Los Angeles Angels. Now let's talk about the NBA. And we'll start off with the Eastern Conference. As in the first round, the Celtics ended up beating the Heat 4-1 to advance to the conference semifinals. And they will be awaiting the winner out of Cleveland and the Magic, which Cleveland Cavaliers right now are leading the series 3-2. And it looks like they will probably be advanced to the semifinals in the Eastern Conference. And then we have the Indiana Pacers versus the Milwaukee Bucks, which Indiana Pacers lead right now 3-2. And then in the East, we got the 76ers versus the New York Knicks, which the New York Knicks have a lead of a 3-2 series right now. And so we'll have to wait and see who else is going to be in the Eastern semifinals. And then for the Western first round, the Thunder end up advancing as they beat and swept the Pelicans 4-0 for the series. And they will be awaiting the winner out of the Clippers and the Mavericks, which Dallas leads right now 3-2. And then for the Timberwolves and the Suns in the first round, the Timberwolves ended up sweeping the Suns to advance to the semifinals, which they will be taking on the Denver Nuggets, which they ended up beating the Lakers in a 7-game series, 4-1. So this series is going to probably be my favorite series in the semis, as that will probably start this weekend on Saturday. And then Thunder will be awaiting the winner out of the Clippers and the Mavericks. And then we'll also have to wait and see who the Celtics will play out of the Cavs and the Magic, and then who will advance from the Bucks, Pacers, and the Knicks 76ers. So we have a lot of basketball to be played, and the NBA playoffs are now just shooting off. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on the NBA. But I want to thank you each and every week for supporting this local podcast. You know, your support goes a long way. I just want to remind you, make sure you guys share the podcast with someone new, a family member, a friend, someone that hasn't heard of the podcast before. Let them know that every Thursday they could depend on this podcast for new content. We drop content every Thursday. We haven't missed a Thursday in 271 Thursdays. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast. Make sure you guys are supporting all your local businesses, all your local artists, and all your local podcasts. I'm Alejandro Oveda, signing off episode 271.